And this is Law and Gospel on this Monday, and it is the last day of September, the 30th in the year of our Lord 2013, and we're going to be talking about whether or not God is going to be thanking you, who are believers, when you get to heaven. This is Law and Gospel, and on Monday of each week, what we like to do is take a look at the lessons for the coming Sunday. And this coming Sunday is the 20th Sunday after Pentecost. Readings from Habakkuk, 2 Timothy, and Luke 17. And surprisingly, we're going to be taking a look at why God is not going to thank you on Judgment Day. What? After all the faithfulness we've been, and God isn't going to thank us? That seems kind of odd. Well, we need to take a look at Luke 17, where God himself, in the person of Jesus Christ, says, verse 1, "It is impossible that no offenses should come, but woe to him through whom they do come. It would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were thrown into the sea, than that he should offend one of these little ones." And Jesus is referring here to little children. Also, it could be those who have just come into the faith. Now, how do you offend a little one or somebody new into the faith? By false teaching. Well, we're very much similar to Elijah and the prophets of Baal story that we're going to be taking a look at today on Issues, Etc. at 4:15. So if you want to know what the Sunday school lesson is for this coming Sunday, we're going to be taking a look at it, and we're going to be making a law and gospel distinction there that should be quite helpful for our Sunday school teachers. But right now, what we're simply saying is that false teachers do indeed bring offense. They bring offense to God because the one commandment that is broken every time a false teacher speaks is the first commandment, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me." Now, what Jesus goes on to say, "If you have faith as a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, be pulled up by the roots and planted in the sea, and it would obey you. And which of you, having a servant plowing or tending sheep, will say to him when he has come in from the field, come at once and sit down to eat?" Now, the disciples are asking the Lord to increase their faith, and that's where he talks about the mustard seed can say to this mulberry tree, be pulled up by the roots and be planted in the sea, and it would obey you. Wow, that is faith. But it is clear that there is only one who has such faith, and that is Jesus the Christ. Now, you could say, what do you mean? He could pull up a mulberry tree and plant it in the sea. He did 10 times more things better than that. He created wine from jars of water, which would be equivalent to a number of atom bombs going off. That's how much energy it would take for that water to become wine in such a short period of time. But Jesus did that at the wedding of Cana. By the way, if you'd like to call in, don't hesitate to do so. And we're going to be talking about Jesus thanking you on Judgment Day. St. Louis area, it's 821-0850. Long distance anywhere in North America, 1-800-730-2727. So we now come to the place where the servant who was plowing or tending sheep, he comes in from the field. And does the master say, come at once and sit down to eat? No. Verse 8, will he not rather say to him, prepare something for my supper, and gird yourself and serve me till I have eaten and drunk, and afterward you will eat and drink? You see, we need to get into the culture of that day, that servants in the field just didn't take care of things in the field. They were kind of like servants that you would have in certain maybe mansions in England or places like that, where they really took care of the whole home. They took care of the fields. They would, say, feed the chickens in the morning. Then they would make breakfast. And they go through a lot of things. And until their task is done, then they wouldn't eat. It's kind of like being a child in a family. When you get up in the morning, you need to probably make your bed, and then you maybe take a shower and brush your teeth. Then you eat breakfast. Then you go to school. And when you come home, you may have other chores to do, like take out the garbage, cut the lawn, wash the car, do the dishes. So it was very similar to these servants. When they came in from the field, now they went to do the next thing that they would do, and that would be to prepare the meal. Now listen to verse 9. Does he thank that servant because he did the things that were commanded him? I think not. That's the way it was done in those days. People were expected. For example, you're working, say, at an automobile manufacturing plant, and you get paid every 2 weeks. So during that last day when you're getting paid, they hand you a check. Now, do you say, oh, thank you, because sure, I didn't deserve this? Of course not. You simply pick up your check, you cash it, and you wait till the next check comes. You're not thanking the person as though they're doing something that is, how shall I say it, a favor to you? No, you merited it. You worked hard for it. Now, look at what Jesus does in the next verse. So likewise you, when you have done all those things which are commanded, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done what was our duty to do. Now, what does that mean? How doing the duty that you were to do makes you unprofitable? Because in the Holy Christian Church, you do not merit your way to salvation. If any thanks are going to be going on Judgment Day, it's from you to God. Thanking him for what? That you're meriting your way into heaven? Of course not. Thanking him for being merciful. What does that mean? That means he is not giving you what you deserve. And thanking him for being gracious. Well, what does that mean? That means that he has given you what you do not deserve. Now, in case you're wondering whether or not you participate in your salvation so that you ought to be thanked by God, then take a look at the epistle reading from 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 8 and following. Here's what it says. And listen carefully to see the part you play in salvation, that you ought to be thanked. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, that's Paul speaking, but share with me in the sufferings for the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus. Now, are you ready for the next three words in the English? Because this stops all boasting and your desire to be thanked by God. Listen to the next three words. I'll reread the first part. Which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. What? How could we get something before time began? Well, what is being talked about here? Well, what is being talked about, and the only way to answer anything in the Bible is Scripture interprets Scripture. Listen to Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 and following. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself According to what? According to our works, we weren't even in existence. According to the good pleasure of his will. To the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he has made us accepted in the beloved. And the beloved refers to Jesus Christ. You are accepted by God because of what Jesus Christ has done. And all that was figured out before time began. But now that Jesus Christ has come, listen to verse 10, back to 2 Timothy 1, but has now been revealed by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ. You see, the Bible talks about how things were kept hidden until the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now we know why we are saved, because of what he has done. What has he done? But has now been revealed by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, listen, who has abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Wow. What Jesus has done, he has abolished death. How do you do that? Well, from before the foundation of the world, the Holy Trinity had decided that the second person of the Trinity, Jesus Christ, would become incarnate for the purpose of coming to earth and dying for the punishment that should have been ours due to our sins. And what was the punishment? Eternal death. He's abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. And what is the gospel? Is not just the four books of the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. No, the gospel here refers to the narrow gospel of the promises of eternal salvation, the forgiveness of sins, the robe of righteousness, all connected to the work of Jesus Christ dying on the cross and raising from the dead. It is through him that death has been abolished and life and immortality has been brought to light through the gospel. Now are you beginning to understand why God isn't going to be thanking you for being saved? Because he did everything. Now, that doesn't mean he isn't pleased with how you have stayed with Jesus Christ, even through suffering, and your life of repentance. Because that is really the life of the Christian. The life of the Christian is not one of getting better and better every day, but one of repentance. And what is repentance? Repentance is contrition over sin because of our great faith in Jesus Christ. And that faith was even given to us by God. How can I give an analogy that might be helpful for you to understand that today? It's kind of like your parents. They buy a house, they buy you clothes, they buy a bed for you, they buy your food is prepared, and they say to you, okay, when you get, out of school, come on home and you'll have a supper ready for you. And so you come in time for supper, and your parents look at you and say, oh, thank you for coming home. No. If anything, you're going to say to them, thank you for providing me with all free clothes, free books, free food, free bed, and the list goes on and on and on. Now, your response to them, they'll be pleased as you are obedient in the family, and they'll thank you there, but they won't thank you for preparing the food, building the house, having the car. No, because you didn't do any of those things. We need to understand that as we live the life of sanctification, this is just a life we ought to be living. Because we cannot merit anything from it. Just like children coming home for supper cannot merit or earn that their parents will be their parents and they will be their children. No, that is a fact accomplished already before they even begin to proceed with fulfilling the parents' rules, their commandments. So, God will greet you. But it'd be kind of like, let me give another analogy here that might be helpful of how you would be greeted. It would be like your parents, first time they're going to see you and your wife after you've had the first baby. So it's the first time they're going to see their grandchild. And that's because they live a long distance away, so they weren't able to be there for the birth. So you drive over to their house, and as you're coming into the house, do you thank them for having a house for you? No. In fact, do they thank you for having a baby when it was really the will of God that such a thing should happen? They're very thankful. But to whom? To God. They're thankful to God for bringing mother and child safe through the birth, and that they're able to see this child now. But rarely do parents thank their kids for coming home to show them the grandchild. That's just kind of an automatic thing that you're supposed to do. And you really thank them for bringing you up in the way so that you can have the kind of wife you have, the kind of children you are going to have, and so forth. All thanks will be directed toward God. I don't know of one hymn in the Bible where God is singing thankfulness to his people. God the Father, his main pleasure and thankfulness goes to his Son. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Now, that doesn't mean that if you had servants who took care of the sheep as well as cooked your meal, that you wouldn't be pleased with them. See, we kind of thank people, not because they merit their thanksgiving, but it's kind of a way of just saying, well, I'm glad you're here. For example, let's say you make an appointment to meet somebody at McDonald's at 1 o'clock and they show up and you say, well, hey, thanks for coming. Now, there really isn't anything that they ought to be thanked for because they had agreed to come. They kept their word, and normally you don't do that. Now, what is a tip to a waitress? Isn't that kind of a thank you? Well, in a sense it is, especially the way most people tip. They tip on the basis of whether she merits 5%, 10%, 15%, or 20%. We went to a restaurant once where they automatically added on 18% for a tip. We don't go there again. In fact, we were at a restaurant yesterday. I won't tell you where it was. It ends in shake. But anyway, the first waitress we had just appeared to be really grumpy. We don't like sitting in booths, so we want to sit at a table. And so she was going to take us to a booth, and I said, no, we would prefer a table because it's easier to get out around a table. And there were a number of us. And she gave that kind of thing. Well, I was knowing that I was not going to have her as my waitress. And unfortunately, we got another waitress when we went to the table we wanted to go to. But a tip would not have been much for her. And I kind of watched her every now and then, and she just kind of seemed to be out of sorts for some reason. In fact, the restaurant wasn't doing too good because while we were standing in line, somebody walked in complaining that they had been in the car line, you know, where you order from the window, for 25 minutes waiting for their order. That seemed really odd to me. But anyway, we got our food and it was good food and had a wonderful time with the family. But even a waitress, if she just does the job, she doesn't get thanked. But if she does it really well, yes, that's something. But you and I can't do it any better than as the Holy Spirit works through us. Remember what the good works on Judgment Day are called. They're not talked about my good works, but rather fruit of the Holy Spirit. You want to talk about any of this? 821-0850 in St. Louis. Or long distance, 1-800-730-2727. I find that kind of interesting, that God really will not be thanking you, but all the thanks will be directed from us towards Him, and particularly towards His Son, Jesus Christ, to whom everyone will give thanks because He's the one that sacrificed for us. That's really kind of interesting, that it's not us that are the problem, that the devil is really the problem, and he's trying to get us to move away from God. But if we stay with God, all thanks goes to the Holy Spirit. Paul ends 2 Timothy 1, by the way, "For this reason, because of what Jesus Christ has done for him, I suffer these things. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep what I have committed to him until that day." Notice who's running all the verbs. And what I mean by that, who's doing all the acts of salvation? Paul is talking about Jesus. He's persuaded that Jesus is able to keep what I have committed to him until that day. And what have we committed to Jesus? Our life. And how does he, well, keep it? The book of Hebrews says that Jesus is both the author and finisher of our faith. It's kind of like we're newborn babes. Mom and dad become both the author of what we eat and the finisher of putting us to bed. What can a newborn babe do? How many times do you thank a newborn babe for the way they're acting? Like, okay, open your mouth now so we can give you some pablum or whatever you feed a baby. No, it just doesn't happen. You're rarely thanking a baby because you're the one really doing all the work. They're receiving. It's kind of the difference between active and passive. If you are active in saving yourself, you ought to be thanked. And that's why in every other religion in the world, people boast about what they do because they think they should be thanked. But in Christianity, you are passive like a newborn babe. You simply receive. You cannot receive anything unless it's given to you. So why should you be thanked for eating it? That's just a kind of automatic response. Why should we be thanked for having been saved? We passively came to salvation. But don't get God not thanking you with God not being pleased with you. That's a difference. God is pleased with you as he was with his son because of your life, not of obedience and suffering like the son, but because of your life of repentance and faith in the son for your salvation. It's really a matter of law and gospel, because under the law, what you end up getting is things that you do, and therefore you merit thankfulness. But under the gospel, God gets all the thanks. He created you. He saved you before time began, according to 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9. And according to Ephesians, the way it puts it is before the foundation of the world. So prior to the creation, God, the Holy Trinity, had already decided among themselves the way of salvation. Now, why would they create a world they knew would have so much trouble? I have no idea. I'm not here to explain God. I'm here to reveal God. And where he gives reasons for certain things, then we're only too happy to share that with you. But the mind of God is so infinite that if you know 1% of 1/1000th of the mind of God, which is about the size of the Bible, say, that's all you're going to know, because we do not live by sight. We live instead by faith. And faith in what? Faith in the promises of God. And the one promise is as clear as glass, that he has given to us salvation. Not that we have earned salvation, not that we have merited salvation. So the very simple thing is, to whom do you give all the thanks? In fact, those of you who have a hymnal, find a hymn in it where God thanks you for being saved. And then call me tomorrow when Mark Smith is on with me, and we'll talk about that. Now, tomorrow is Ruminations Tuesday with Mark Smith. Can you be sure of salvation? How do you know for sure you are saved? And we're also going to be talking about not only about how you can be sure about salvation, but where is baptism in that? And then a very interesting thing is whether or not baptism is a past or present. And we'll talk about that tomorrow with Mark Smith. Till then, Tom Baker, God bless.
Listen to Law and Gospel on KFUO Radio. You can write Pastor Tom at KFUO Radio, 85 Founders Lane, St. Louis, Missouri, 63105. Or email lawgospel@lawgospel.com. Law and Gospel is archived for your listening convenience at KFUO.org.